Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch, Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
I haven't really thought one second of that. More just focused on the guys in that locker room right now and grateful for the effort and what they put through on that, and that's really all that matters.
Joe Mazzulla hasn't thought one second about any changes coming to the Celtics.
Now, what was he thinking about?
Scal didn't think he was thinking much.
The accountant, too.
I'm paraphrasing. That's true. I still haven't seen accountant two. I'll get around to it. There's too much stuff on right now. Too many good movies about to be in the theater. Too many good shows on TV right now.
Yeah, no, I felt the accountant too. I actually felt very left out. You guys were talking TV or movies or whatever before the show.
Yeah, me and Nick are going bing, 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 bing.
Yeah,
bing,
you guys,
bing,
and I asked maybe one of my sillier questions that I've ever asked, which is saying something.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about Wolfman. I go, well, what's that? And it sounds...
Well, they kind of nailed it.
Pretty self-evident.
I think they nailed it, the title. It's also a movie that nobody needs to see. Me and Nick both felt the same way about it. You can skip Wolfman.
Okay, but Accountant 2, you watch Wolfman before Accountant 2.
I would, no, well, no, because it was free. It was free streaming. It's on one of the streamers right now. Accountant 2, you still have to go to the theater for. So
speaking of free, you made a trek up to the mailroom.
I did. Sadly, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you'll notice I'm still wearing the same clothes and the same stupid hat as I was before. I'm not wearing a City Connect jersey that was gifted to so many radio hosts, podcast hosts, just general Red Sox fans. Not wearing any of that.
You get nothing.
Went up to the mailroom. I haven't been up to the mailroom in months. That's how desperate and thirsty I am. For people who don't know, we're in the basement, so I had to huff it up four flights of stairs.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't take the elevator.
It's a haul.
And nothing.
Sick brag, bro.
Terp actually filmed me up there, so you can see the video. I walk in there. There's a lot of different mailboxes. There was one package. There was a package in there.
Nice.
Oh, look at how quick Terp is to turn this around. This is a little behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, here you go. If you're on Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI,
you see all those different like mailboxes and things like that. Look at that. One package. That looks like, guess who it was for? I'll give you one guess who that was for.
Oh, Greg.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. The only person who gets anything here.
That was Greg, his jersey.
Yeah, Greg gets us down here. Like, yeah, exactly. That's got to be for Greg.
They had these things. I don't know if you guys saw any of them, but they had like these nice Red Sox boxes that you kind of like would open it up and it would unveil all these goodies inside.
Real nice.
It was like Christmas morning on the inside, all with Red Sox City Connect stuff. And it's like, did we get them? 2 years of doing the pregame show. Do I get one? No. No, I don't.
Maybe the current pregame host gets it. Maybe that's for Arcand.
I'd be happy if he got one. Yeah. I'm not saying take them away from people. I'm just saying add more to them.
You're not saying that, though.
No, they can have them. I hope they have them. I hope they wear them. I hope they love them. I hope they cherish them. I would say I would wear mine more than the others people would. Don't you think?
I kinda
wear jerseys. I'm an old man that wears jerseys. That's my lot in life.
I kind of think Hart's going to wear his today. I think he is. I can feel that. Based on this commentary by you, I can feel Hart showing up.
He just turned around in his car and went back home to get it. He's going to wear it versus me every day.
That's exactly what he's doing. So Mazzulla hasn't spent any time thinking about any changes for the Celtics. I know a lot of you have. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Celtics and their random meeting at the NBA draft combine with Cooper Flagg. Strange.
That's got people excited around here.
We're also going to have Terp join us in studio, Pure Hoops, at high noon. Red Sox update later on in the hour. They have a new plan at first base. So we have thoughts on that.
See, they've been listening to me.
They're
not going to send me a jersey, but they're listening about first base.
Some of your ideas, they're listening and taking, yes. Mike's in Providence. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. Great having you back together. I don't call often. Got a bit of a hot take here that seems kind of sacrilegious in this town.
I think
people are seeing what the real problem with the organization is. Everyone's criticizing Mazzulla, but if we take a step back, we can see that the current head coach of the team that isn't living up to their potential was put in power by the last head coach of the team that wasn't living up to their potential. So what did that guy do when he realized he might be on the hot seat for it? he went to ownership and somehow convinced them that the real problem wasn't him. It was the guy who had just pulled off one of the greatest moves in sports history by turning the corpses of Pierce and Garnett into Tatum and Brown. So then we have Das Wunderkind backstabbing boy genius Willikers, Brad St. Stevens running Danny Grange out of town, and Just Like a Young Man coming in for a quickie, destroying what should have been a great 16-year run by bringing in a bunch of aging, injury-prone role players and paying them like stars.
Okay, so should we...
There's a lot there.
I think he had more. Some might have been written down.
You're blaming Brad Stevens for this? I can't go there.
Also, like,
is it for what? You want hiring?
What do you want? Ainge back? Ainge deserved to be gone. Let's not play that game.
No, Ainge was great, and then it was time for Ainge to go. Brad Stevens has been great.
It was completely time for Ainge to go, and I agree. Brad's been great. I thought what he was going to say is what we talked about earlier, Keith. Just the criticism of how they play should go higher than Missoula. I thought that's where he was going to go with that.
And also, Missoula wasn't Brad's first choice as a head coach. His first choice was Ime Udoka, who apparently had to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some off the court stuff.
Some, yes.
But so then he landed on Missoula, and I'm with you. After that first year, there was a lot of criticism. He did win the title last year. And so this would go back to your thing, though. You and I think some other fans sort of look at it and like, well, the road was pretty easy last year. You're not going to get a road like that again. So when the trump card is title, does that still hold up? Like for Joe Missoula, like, yeah, you won a title. It's like, are you hitting him with the yeah, but? Or are you like, yeah, you did win a title?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends on just how much they want to throw the title out there in everybody's face. If they really want to throw it out there in everybody's face, then let's look at how you won it. And I would add a yeah, but onto it. But
I wonder if Stevens does. Like, does Brad Stevens look at it that way?
I'm not firing either of those guys. I'm not firing Missoula. No. Missoula should come back. Let's see how it goes next year. But to me, Missoula should come back. I'm not firing Brad.
Yeah.
But if they want to start throwing around and bragging about their championships and thumping their chest to defend what we just witnessed, I will yeah, but them. That's all. I mean, that'd be my stance on it. But I definitely don't want Ainge. How's that going in Utah, by the way?
They didn't get the lottery. He's picking fifth, just like he did. Although he turned Jeff Green into Ray Allen, so maybe he can make some magic happen. Now, they've gotten worse since he's gotten there.
Yeah.
They're just, like, bottomed out.
I mean, Ainge...
They had the worst record in the league, right?
Bill lost it. Ainge lost it. That's what I think. Similar idea there. Bob's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I was just curious, you know, in lieu of how everything's gone, do you think the way the new guy bought the team, would he have bought this team under the circumstances of what just happened? Meaning he kind of, you know, seemed like he was getting a great situation. And right now, given all the uncertainty and given the fact that it's pretty obvious, I know we all say this, but I was on the other side of the fence last year when they won. I went, they did win, but we know why they won, because they didn't play any competition. And now this year they played some competition. They looked horrible. And remember, even being defending champs, they were soft. They were lousy. Even not just because they lost. I don't know. I have a feeling you're going to be in for a long rebuild before you see any success. And Tatum, let's be realistic.
Bob, I disagree. It shouldn't be a long rebuild. Tatum's coming back.
Yeah.
Tatum could be back, according to his father, by like the middle of next year. I don't buy that, but Tatum's going to be out for a year. Then he's back. You should still have Jaylen Brown. That's not a long rebuild.
Yeah, 2 years from now, if you have Tatum and Brown, neither one will be 30, right? Or maybe Brown might be entering his age 30 season. They're nowhere close. Like, I mean, I would say that they would be. And then that's where it does come down to Brad Stevens. I would trust Brad Stevens. He put together this roster. Who's to say he can't put together another roster? Could he find a big man version of Derek White? Why not? I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but we're giving him a lot, or I give him a lot of credit, you give him a lot of credit for putting this team together the way that he did, being willing to trade Marcus Smart when Danny Ainge wouldn't do it, and he got Porzingis in and sort of the changes that it made, being opportunistic when Damian Lillard forced his way to Milwaukee. You got Drew Holiday in that situation. So I think Brad Stevens can keep Tatum and Brown together and White, and then sort of add around that, and you still wouldn't be that far off. I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals right now is Halliburton and Siakam versus Brunson and Towns. Like, the good players. Like, I'm not trying to rip those guys. I like Halliburton and Brunson quite a bit,
right,
but
we'd all take Tatum and Brown over.
Yes! Yeah, 100%. You're not looking at them and be like, nobody's getting through those two.
100%. Okay. Now, Tatum's got this injury. How does he come back from it? Let's see. Brown's got his torn meniscus. Maybe he'll need surgery. Maybe not. Either way, he should be ready opening night based on all the reporting I've seen. But, you know, I mean, you have to start worrying about how those guys age, maybe. But right now, I definitely take Tatum and Brown over those other duos. 617-779-7937. 7937. Let's hear from a few players about their future. This is Al Horford, Saturday, I believe it was, discussing the outlook for next year. He wasn't ready to go there.
You're obviously going to be a free agent this summer. How do you look ahead to that process? Do you plan to continue playing next year, and do you hope to return to Boston?
For me, it's just too soon to talk about that stuff. I'm gonna take some time here with my wife, with my kids, and just that. But I mean, it's not even been a day, so there's still a lot for me to process. And just feeling everything out from last night, that was difficult.
I mean, I couldn't agree. Like, that's a player who knows they're not back.
He's so gone. I feel like if Tatum was 100% healthy, and whether they won the title or not, I think there might have been a decent chance. Like, they weren't going to be able to offer him a lot of money, but I feel like he's never had a better time in his career than in Boston. I feel like he'd want to play his last year or two in Boston. Maybe you would have been able to convince him he's going for another title, all that stuff. Without Tatum, we're talking about them being like a 4, 5, 6 seed next year. Horford's not going to be back. And it's probably good for both. Horford can go somewhere else on a better team, try to make one more run, maybe come off the bench as the first big off a bench somewhere, help a team win a title. And the Celtics don't need to spend money on, 40-year-old Al Horford.
How much do you think they're going to miss him? Because he's gone from a play. I used to, when they first gave him a max deal years and years ago, I thought he was very overrated. I never thought he was like a foundational core member.
Oh, I got into like a screaming match with Kyle Draper one time because Draper was like, he's a 5-time All-Star. I'm like, great. Yeah. And he's not like an All-Star player for them, but
he's not a foundational big three type of player at the time. That's kind of how we were talking about it. They were in on Durant that same offseason. And so I used to think he was overrated. Where he's at now in his career, where he's a spot starter, but he's coming in off the bench, he's been a very, very valuable piece.
Oh, he's had some big games for him even this year, right? And some big spots last year. It's not a coincidence, I think, that Brad Stevens' first move when he got the job was to get Al Horford back.
Right.
He got rid of Kemba Walker before he could even get his desk set up in his new office. Got rid of Kemba, brought in Al Horford. So I think Horford's a great teammate for guys like Brown and Tatum. And I think he will be missed, but it's a matter of you're trying to shed salary. You're not really a title contender next year. You got to find another young big man. Like right now, their big men are Kornet, Horford, Porzingis. Porzingis has a mystery ailment with 1 year left. Kornet and Horford are both free agents. I think it's time to get young at that spot.
And if you're going to save salary and trim salary, they're in the second apron without Horford even factored into those calculations. So I think he's an easy one to go. He didn't want to say it there. He's not going to tell you he's gone, but he basically told you he's gone. This is Jrue Holiday, at least saying that he wants to be back.
Yeah, I think we still have a really, really great opportunity and a great window to be successful and win a championship again. I think the talent that we have on this team, not only on the court, but the coaching staff, all the way up to Brad, has been amazing. So, the opportunity to win is now, and I still want to be a part of that.
Okay, wants to be a part of it, thinks they still have a chance to win.
Yep, I like the optimism.
What kind of... You think so?
So, I don't know.
What kind of value do you think he has?
Because
initially, I'm like, he's got so much money left on his deal. He's an older player.
I think he has 75% of the value that he brought to the Celtics last season. So think about the Celtics got him and the team that they were and sort of what they needed. He's not that player anymore.
What's a team that's like a Jrue Holiday away that would pay, what the most you can get for him? I don't think you're going to get blown away with a significant deal. I don't think they gave up a significant amount to get him when they acquired him. So I don't think you should expect a ton. The main reason you'd trade him is financial. But I guess the reason...
If the Timberwolves lose this series to the Thunder, maybe the T-Wolves... I think the Pistons would probably want to spend their money on somebody better, or closer to their prime.
Yeah.
But I just look at, one of the knocks on Brown and Tatum were sort of like, could they win? And like they needed somebody to sort of help push them over the top. Even though those guys were the best players still, Jrue Holiday is such a, leader, kind of team captain, veteran, like does everything the right way. And he's good on defense. Like you're not going to get much on the offensive side of it, but I think there are some teams that could use him. However, he has 3 years essentially left on his deal. I mean, there's a player option in that last deal, but
so who has more value in a trade, him or Porzingis?
Like Porzingis, I think Drew Holiday. Porzingis actually plays.
Porzingis is contract. You only have to commit to it to one more year, but you have no idea what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
Holiday is diminished at this stage, but you do know what you're going to get.
He'll play.
But he also is owed a lot of money. Honestly, Twitch chat says Denver. That's not a bad one.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know where they're at.
They got to get rid of Westbrook.
Yeah, I don't know where. I don't know like what they can afford and what they can do. But that fit makes sense. Like put him next to Jamal Murray, who can't defend.
Yeah,
that or you know that makes sense. So that's a good one.
That's what I was thinking there. Or like play him with Cade Cunningham with the Pistons. But so $32 million, $34 million is like a ton of money. But now when like these new contracts are coming up, that's still like half of what Tatum and Brown make.
It's true.
So it's a lot of money to like wrap your head around. But there are some teams that aren't spending as much money as the Celtics are that might be able to get him in there. But that also gets into like all the math. So like if they don't re-sign Horford and they don't re-sign Cornette, I mean they're still
You're in the second apron. You still have to shave pieces off. Yeah.
So Porzingis or Holiday, can they get rid of either one of those guys? It seems like Hauser's a guy because he's going to get a spike in pay next year that he's going to be gone. But even still, where are you at? And especially if you're trading those guys away and you're bringing some money back, like you're not just like dumping $30 million or dumping $60 million.
Yeah, and by the way, if Tatum were healthy and the Celtics were, you know, just eliminated, I would be less on board with shaving the payroll. Without Tatum, even I'm like, I heard Curtis this morning was like, well, why are we giving Bill Chisholm the out to just save money? You're not a championship contender next year. It's a good time to dip below the second apron. I don't really care about his bottom line. That's normally my stance. But without Tatum next year, even I'm on board with, okay, get this right and try to set it up around Tatum for when he comes back in 2 years. I don't think you'll be an awful team next year. I think you'll be a playoff team. I think you'll be in the mix in the Eastern Conference, meaning like a 4-5 seed. That's what I think you'll be. And I'm not saying burn it to the ground and tank. I'm not saying that. But I get peeling off a piece or two to get under the second apron and reset to rebuild going forward around Tatum. Let's go to Kurt in Tampa. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going? One thing I think this Celtics team is really missing, and it was kind of evident in a few points during the series, they need an enforcer on the team, man. They need like a Westbrook, a Draymond, or even like an Ant. I don't know who it is that they're going to bring in. Like when Porzingis, there was one point he got drilled to the floor. Not when he got his head all bloodied up. But he got drilled to the floor, and none of the Celtics players were there to back him up. Even when he got his head bloodied up, none of the players were there to even like help him up off the floor. So we need someone to get in someone's face, kind of like Garnett back in 2008. And then
I think the Celtics did a lot of getting in Orlando's face in that round, especially when Porzingis got knocked to the ground.
Well, I don't know. Like, there are some guys, I guess, in the league that used to label that. But do the Knicks or Pacers even have one?
I don't.
Like a Frank Brakowski?
I mean, like who? He said Draymond. Who outside of Draymond? Who even is it?
Dylan Brooks.
Oh, that's a good. Actually,
like
a good
there's
one.
A few maniacs. Yeah, like there's Beef Stewart. Beef Stewart will get in your face. He'll chase down LeBron. I like Isaiah Beef Stewart, but there's not too many.
No.
It's that's sort of gone the way. Enforcers out, 3-point shooting centers in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, do any of the remaining teams have that guy? He said Anthony Edwards. He's not that.
Even Garnett really.
And he's like way
that.
Too good of a player.
Garnett would yell at Zaza Pachulia, but he wouldn't really get in the face of other guys.
Look, the Celtics might be, like, they might have a lack of toughness. Like, if you want to call them a little bit soft, and that might be more mental than even physical, fine. But I don't think they need to go out and get an Isaiah Beef Stewart. I don't think they need that.
I mean, I'd take him.
A couple of good texts here, 617-779-7937. It says here, Keith can run up 4 flights of stairs, no problem, but Jones can't run down the hallway without being out of breath.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even realize I passed the fitness test. I did go up and down the flight of stairs and wasn't winded. Well, I'm kind of shocked.
And I certainly failed that test. There's no doubt about that. I also like this, Keith. I agree with Rich. Jerseys are like pets. They should not be given to homes where they are not loved.
This is what I'm saying.
Yes.
These people, the Red Sox should check in on all these people. Like, how often are you wearing that jersey?
Yeah.
We did give it to you. It's a pretty cool thing, and you're not wearing it? Maybe we find a home that, you know, will be appreciated more.
Yeah, a loving home. Huh. That is exactly what it is. More of your phone calls coming up. We will get to the Red Sox. They've made a decision, it seems. At first base, it ain't Rafi Devers. We'll do that with your phone calls. We have Terp at High Noon for Pure Hoops Special. On a Monday, let's get to the Celtics and their meeting with Cooper Flagg, the presumed top pick in the draft. Why are they doing it? We'll get into it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox dropped 2-3 in their weekend series with the Braves yesterday after yesterday's 10-4 loss at Fenway. Brian Bayo got the loss after giving up 7 runs on 10 hits and 4 and a third innings. All 4 Sox runs came off of Rafael Devers' grand slam in the bottom of the third. It's Devers' 9th home run of the season. Red Sox homestand continues tonight with game 1 of their 3-game series with the Mets. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Dobbins will get the start for the Sox in the series opener against the Mets' Cody Senga. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arcand beginning at 5:45. In the NBA playoffs last night, the Thunder advanced to the Western Conference Finals with their 125-93 Game 7 win over the Nuggets. The Thunder advanced to play the Timberwolves. Game 1 is tomorrow night. Game 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and Knicks is Wednesday night. In the NHL playoffs, the Panthers eliminated the Maple Leafs with a 6-1 Game 7 win last night. The Panthers will now face the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals beginning tomorrow night. On Wednesday night, it's Game 1 in the Western Conference Finals between the Oilers and the Stars. And Scottie Scheffler is the winner at the PGA Championship. Scheffler finished the tournament shooting 11 under, earning his third career major championship. Visit the 99 Restaurants the day after the Red Sox win, and kids eat free, get a free meal with every adult entree purchased. The 99 Restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Trey Johnson, who is a potential top 5 pick, Texas guard, he openly said, the Celtics interviewed me, said it on my podcast, and an interview will air probably next week. I have multiple sources telling me the Celtics also interviewed Cooper Flagg. Now, this does not mean they're going to trade up into the top 10, but I do think it's interesting, at least, the way it works at the draft combine. Teams can interview up to 13 players, and they rank the players that they most want to interview. This would mean that they had Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, guys like that ranked high to get the opportunity to interview them. And the Trey Johnson one in particular is interesting to me because, hey, like, he's one of the best shooters in the draft. He's going to go somewhere in like the 4 to 9 range. If Boston were to really retool this offseason, you know, Al Horford's going to be a free agent. Kristaps Porzingis is old. Jrue Holiday is old. And Jaylen Brown's value may be as high as it has ever been. I just think it's interesting the Celtics have made it a point to interview these guys.
All right, let's introduce this. Kevin O'Connor on the Kevin O'Connor Show, his podcast, discussing that the Celtics met with Trey Johnson, guard out of Texas, projected to go certainly lottery top 10, I think. Yep. I haven't followed it as close, just given where the Celtics are drafting. And then Cooper Flagg, the presumed number one pick in the draft. They met with both at the combine. And if you heard in his answer, which I didn't know this is how it worked, I'm like, oh, well, they met with him, big deal. You only get 13 meetings at the combine. Seems very random.
13.
You get 13.
That is
and
odd.
You rank them in order of who you want to talk to the most. And
it
then
they used to be how many lottery teams there were.
Now, that's what I was wondering, if it was 14. That as well.
Yes, I don't get it.
But so you rank them in order of who you want to talk to the most. So basically, to land someone like Flagg or Johnson, they have to be very high on your interview list, which means the Celtics put a big priority on meeting with these guys. Now, why? Could you say they just want to get to know a guy they could be going against? I know you would hear that sometimes with Bill and different draft prospects the Patriots would bring in. I don't know. Let's take it at face value. They're meeting with Cooper Flagg. Do they have something big up their sleeve? I know a lot of callers have suggested it ever since Tatum went down.
Oh, yeah. People are all over this.
I don't think they're going to do it, but I think... And when I say I don't think they're going to do it, I don't think Dallas is going to move the pick.
Yeah.
But it's interesting the Celtics met with him, and maybe they have something big up their sleeve.
Well, first of all, I don't think we can rule out Dallas trading the number one pick. Dallas traded Luka Doncic.
Sure.
Which, to me, was one of the most untradeable players in sports. We even did our list. Remember, like, untradeable guys. I had him on the list. clearly. He was tradable in the case of Nico Harrison. So they're saying right now they're not going to trade it, but I wouldn't completely shut the door on it. The NBA offseason is always fantastic. There's always crazy things that happen. Players switching teams, star players all the time.
And now that you say it, we've thought Jalen and Kyrie were going to play together before.
So let's just play this out for a second. I don't think either one necessarily will do. I wouldn't bet on either one of these things happening. But Jaylen Brown for the number one pick, does that at least get a conversation?
I don't believe so, but maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
It shouldn't, but
maybe
I would
Kyrie's
at,
really running the show there, Keith. Right, and look, I mean, Kyrie worked with Nico Harrison when they were both together at Nike, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kyrie's lost that shoe deal long since, but I mean, maybe Kyrie's really pulling the strings there for all I know. I have no idea, but if I'm Nico Harrison, I just fell ass backwards, maybe winking and not agreeing
with
the whole
time.
Yeah,
I would say that was in the works.
But I have the number one pick in the draft. This is like my redo, my get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
No chance I would trade the pick. But I don't know. If he's not really running the show and Kyrie is, well, then maybe Kyrie pulls the strings and says, I want to try to win with Jalen, and me, AD, and Jalen, we could go compete for a title. Maybe.
Well, I just think, to me, it was one of the worst moves ever last year, trading Luka away and bringing in Davis. So what you did was you shortened your window. Like, Luka's young, just made the NBA Finals. And then you're like, no, we're going to go after a guy who's more injury-prone and older, and pair him with our guy who's also older. And so we really have like a 2-year run at it. And windows can be scary because we thought the Celtics were going to have a much bigger window.
Yep.
And you see what happens. But just for next season, would Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, AD have a better chance of winning the title than Kyrie, AD, and Flag?
100%.
So if that's their mindset, they might consider it. They really shouldn't. I also think Flagg's going to be one of these rookies that is really impactful as a rookie. Like, I don't think you're going to have to wait very long for him to be really, really good. So maybe that's where the conversation ends. But if they're interviewing him, I think there's got to be some teams out there that are thinking maybe there's something crazy. Because specifically the team that Dallas has, because they have Kyrie and Anthony Davis, they're not year five of Cooper Flagg, he's not going to be playing with those two guys. But if you got Giannis, or if you got Jaylen Brown, or if you got Devin Booker, like for the next 3 years, you'd be a championship contender.
So I don't think Dallas would do it. I understand the argument you're making. I don't think Dallas would do it. But if Dallas called up Boston and said, we'll give you the number one pick, we want Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
The Celtics have to do that, don't they?
Yeah. Because Tatum's hurt. I think if Tatum wasn't hurt, I would probably wouldn't do it. Because we've spent 8 years trading Jaylen Brown away, and then they win a title. And
yeah, we might as well do it one more time.
I've come off of that. Like, I'm not trading Jaylen Brown, but I think in that scenario, maybe you would, because Jason Tatum, we hope, is back in 2 years, but what does that even look like? Are we talking a little bit further for him to be like all NBA caliber Jason Tatum? That might be one that you would have to do. But at the end of the day, I don't think either team is doing that.
Why are they meeting with him?
Good question.
I mean, they have to have real... The only answer is they have to have real interest. Nothing else really makes sense. They have to have real interest.
Yeah. And maybe they think the way that that I do, and it's like, well, if Nico Harrison trades Luka, he might trade the number one pick.
You know, so, what? Good point. They're just like, anything's possible with this stupid right. team. Let's meet with the guy just in case.
And if he really puts the number one pick out there, there's going to be everybody calling. It's like, why can't we call? At that point, why can't we call? And even if we don't want to trade Jaylen Brown, I mean, you certainly wouldn't get him then, but like, maybe you put together a different package.
Here's the other piece. It's like, okay, so Dallas wouldn't do it for Cooper Flagg, I don't think. All right, well, where's Trey Johnson going, and who are they talking to in that range? Like, are you talking to, I don't know the draft order off the top of my head, are you talking to like the number five pick?
So,
like, the fact they met with both these guys tells me this is real interest. It's not just, hey, look, we're picking 28. Let's use one of our interviews. I'd say waste, but use one of our interviews to interview a guy that grew up in New England and get a feel for him. And like, let's just do that. Maybe he's not the only high profile draft prospect they met with.
No. So just to play this out, I think it's kind of interesting the way the ping pong balls fell, and definitely not it being rigged. Dallas, San Antonio, Philly are the top three picks.
Uh-huh.
All three of those teams, I think, could convince themselves they could be really good with one extra player. Philly, they're just dumb, and like, I don't know, with the Embiid thing. But like, they don't feel like we're so far away. Obviously, Dallas isn't. And then San Antonio, if you pair up a really good player with Wembanyama, like, maybe they would be something. After that, it's sort of just crap teams that wouldn't want like a Jrue Holiday. They wouldn't want a Jaylen Brown, like Charlotte, Utah, Washington. I don't see that happening.
No.
Houston picks 10. Like, would Ime Udoka want somebody from this Celtics team or something along those lines? Maybe Trey Johnson falls as low as 10.
So Trey Johnson's at 10. Jaylen Brown for the 10th pick?
That you would need to get way more back.
That doesn't feel like enough.
No, I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for the second pick. I think it really falls off after Flagg. I know everybody loves those Rutgers guys, but you know me. They didn't make the tournament. I'd be a little worried about two guys.
I was going to say, Keith,
two players in the top three, and they don't make the tournament together?
You didn't love it about Fultz. Who else was another? Was it Ben Simmons?
Fultz, Simmons. Simmons happened first, right? And then that's when it became like a real red flag. And then Fultz, and there's another one after
Rutgers
that.
Has two of them, and they didn't make the tournament. That's even worse.
How's that
happen? It's not just one guy. Right. One guy should be able to drag his team to the tournament. So when as many teams as make it, they had two.
They had two.
Not
so
great.
That's why, and they might go in somewhere with Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. So if those guys... Because I could see San Antonio and Philly both looking to trade those picks. And then somebody being happy with those guys, sort of a young rebuild team and go.
So look, I've been very dismissive of the idea that they could trade Jaylen for the number one overall pick and draft Cooper Flagg. They met with him. I didn't see that coming. What do you think's going on? Why are they meeting with him? And would you do that move? You can weigh in, 617-779-7937.
Real quick.
Yes.
How long do you think it'll take Cooper Flagg to be...
an all-star?
In his prime. Let's just say that's a good one. An all-star.
Year three?
Okay.
Maybe earlier?
All right, no. Yeah, I think year three safe, and that's still, pretty good, right? Because he's super young. He's really, a high school senior age-wise.
Yeah, and
so he's super young.
The reason I would put a lot of stock in it is, again, he was... the videos of him against Team USA... were incredible.
He's nasty.
Incredible.
No, I think he's great. I'm with all the textures. He's incredible. But year three for him, Anthony Davis will be 35 and Kyrie will be 36. And I don't think they're getting healthier either. So if you're truly maximizing those guys, which is what Nico Harrison did by trading away Luka Doncic, I think it's at least a possibility that they do something equally as dumb and trade the number one pick.
Well, and maybe the Celtics think that too. And that's why they're meeting with him. Let's go to the phones. Bob is in Western Mass. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you ever hear when the Celtics, when they interview them or Mazzulla, he's always talking about winning the margins?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the problem with winning the margins. That does you no good when you lose everything in between the margins. And that team, I thought they were learning their lesson. In the first round against, a very physical team. But then they went back to their same old identity, which is blowing 20-point leads and not calling timeouts.
I don't love the way Mazzulla talks after some of these games, discussing the margins and the three-point opportunities and all that. I don't love that. But he does remind me that we were talking about the Orlando series because the Celtics had to win differently and they didn't lean on threes. And they were pushed, honestly, more than I thought they would be by the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
We thought they'd be better off for that series. Turns out they were not. It changed. It changed nothing.
No.
They went into game one against New York and jacked up 60 more threes, and they continued to let it fly all series
zero
long.
Zero carryover.
And they shot their way out of the first two games. So they learned nothing from that Orlando series. I thought they would. I thought they'd be better off for it. That was wrong.
Yeah, no, that didn't have any impact. And I thought, especially the first two games where they shot 25 of 100 from three, were like, they just beat a team by not shooting the three, not relying on it. So would they go about it differently? Would they ever stop? And no. In fact, it made the juxtaposition even crazier because you're they just had a game where they didn't make a three and they only took six in a whole half. And they found a way to win that game in that series. And then in the Knicks series, they're just let it fly. We'll shoot our way out of it.
Let's go right back to what we do.
Awesome.
You guys can climb aboard. 617-779-7937. We have Terp, Pure Hoops, at High Noon on a Monday. Special appearance by Terp. You got questions for him, you know the number. Again, 617-779-7937. You can send in all your questions at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram at Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21. We'll get your questions there as well for Terp when he joins us in about 20 minutes. Coming up next, let's get to the Red Sox, Keith. Your plan coming to fruition at first base while the losses continue to pile up for the Sox. That's next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
3-2. Liner on a shot to third. It is caught there by Riley. And the ball game is over. Red Sox fall here 10-4. The walks doom the Red Sox. Bayo, another frustrating start. And Atlanta comes in. And they take 2 of 3.
It's over.
Red Sox drop 2 out of 3 to the Braves over the weekend. Ho-hum. They've been doing this seemingly every series. The one they won sandwiched in the middle, Devers walks it off. They had to come back in that game. So an exciting Saturday evening game. But the Red Sox somehow still, despite dropping 2 out of 3, are 2 games under 500. They're still in second place in the division. I don't even
Division's
get it.
Trash.
I mean, so yeah.
The Orioles
that is what it is.
So bad.
They just fired their manager.
They got rid of their manager. They've been really bad. The other... That's surprising to me. I thought they'd be a little bit better, even though they did lose a couple of studs. I thought they'd still be better with their young guys. The Blue Jays and Rays, I think everybody assumed were going to be like 500.
Yeah, so
right?
I guess
it's not a great division.
No, we thought the AL would be down, the division would be down. We were right about that. We were wrong about how down the Red Sox
down
are.
It, well, them too, right? And so, yeah, that's why there's sort of two different things going on. It's like, all right, though, the team sucks. Like, yeah, but like they're not that far out of it, and like they're still within like a puncher's chance or even better of making the playoffs. But it's like, yeah, but how are they playing? Like, look at just them for a moment. They just get swept by the Tigers, who are like one of the few AL like overachieving teams. They're playing great. And then you follow that up. You have this home series with the Braves. You're starting it with Garrett Crochet against Chris Sale on Friday. You even have a guy, everybody's favorite, Rafael Devers, having a big series with a walk-off with a grand slam, and you lost 2 out of 3. Like, you lost 2 out of 3. And it usually this team, they get under 500 by a game, then they get right back to 500. Well, not this time.
Like, no.
Now they go down by 2, and now they get a series with the Mets, who have been pitching their tails off this year. Plus, they got 3 stud hitters in their lineup, so it's not getting any easier here in the next 3 games.
So, Bayo yesterday was brutal. Cora called out the whole pitching staff and basically was like, we need more out of the starters. I would lump Cora in, as I have with all of this, and say, how did you not have a quicker hook on Bayo yesterday? Yeah. He clearly didn't have it. You decided to stick with him.
He didn't even have anybody up until Bayo was on like his 5th walk.
It's one in like a million little issues with Cora this year where you go, are you even watching the games? Like, well, are you even paying attention?
You won't have to worry about it tonight.
Are you checked out for your kid's graduation already yesterday and not even watching the games? That
the
was going on?
Broadcast did cut to him like 6 times just sitting there.
Just
Bayo
sitting there.
Guys.
Dude, a Monday graduation?
That's strange.
Is that how it works around here?
I don't remember. I don't. Yeah, I don't know what.
Hobart Williams Smith. It was a nice weekend, little festivity. A nice weekend on the lawn.
So yeah, he won't be there tonight. Might be an improvement.
Can't hurt.
Addition by subtraction.
Can't
hurt. How many times have we watched it this year? Where you're like, are you even watching? Are you paying attention to what's going on out there?
Howe gave up what? How many runs in 2 1/3 twice this year?
He's like, stay out there.
He's like looking over there.
He's got it.
I think he's going to work his way out of this one. Like, he is not. He is for sure not.
So Cora would be on the list. The starting pitching's been terrible. I mean, the team outside of Devers really couldn't hit all weekend.
Yeah.
So they have myriad issues going on. However, Keith, they are doing what you want at first base. Christian Campbell
finally
taking grounders over
that's
there.
That's the guy.
I had it wrong. On the homestand, I'm like, Devers will be seen taking ground balls at first.
He's never playing first.
It was Campbell.
Devers is never playing first.
I mean, Bradfoe told us last week.
He doesn't even want to run to first.
It's more likely he gets traded then plays games at first base, and it turns out it's going to be Christian Campbell over there. Who knows when, but that's what it's going to be.
Which I think is good because we also got the news that the Woo Sox, there's a team that I can get behind. They'll take care of us. The Woo Sox had Marcelo Meyer playing second base. So that seems like the logical next step because that was one thing I didn't love about the idea anyway of Devers playing first was who's going to be your DH? And is that somebody that you really want in the lineup every day? Or is it really more of just an opportunity to give guys sort of like a break in the field, but you're not really adding a big hitter? So now first base is giving you nothing at the plate. It's giving you nothing all year long because Casas wasn't any good when he was healthy. And then all the different guys trying to replace him have been bad too. So you take Campbell's bat, which it's cooled a little bit.
It's cooled quite a bit.
It's not amazing. But I'd still rather have him getting at bats than all those other guys. And now Marcelo Meyer can make his major league debut, start at second base. And who knows? Trevor Story stinks right now. Maybe he'll eventually play shortstop too.
You have to hope that they're in conjunction. I believe they're going to be in addition to one another. Campbell moves to first, and then whenever they do that, then Myers up. I mean, those should happen all at once, or else you're not really improving the team at all.
Yeah.
Campbell's just playing games at first base, but David Hamilton's at second. That's no good.
I don't want that.
Me neither. So they better both happen together. I also would just, you know, really rip the Band-Aid off and promote Anthony at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're waiting for. Oh, wait, I do. It's about money. It's not about winning games. So I actually know exactly what they're waiting for, but it's getting more and more frustrating while they lose game after game after series after game, which gets very frustrating. Here's Cora on the timetable to see Christian Campbell over at first base. He talked about this over the weekend. I don't think we're going to be seeing it overly soon.
Mike Lowell said it takes 2 days.
Mike Lowell was asked,
an infielder, not just like you or me, but for an infielder.
Somebody who played especially on the left side of the infield, it'd take him 2 days, is what Mike Lowell said.
Yeah, how long would it take to play first base? 2 days.
Going to take longer with Campbell.
Been through this dance before, right, in the past. We did it with Kyle. He got hurt right away in Detroit, in his first day of taking ground balls. Arroyo playing New York, first play, he stretched, he got hurt. Frenchie, we moved to first, it wasn't great, right?
No, he was not.
It's not easy. We're taking a chance here. Like, you know, all this talk about this guy should play first, this and that. I can give you five examples why it didn't work the last 5 years, you know? We were actually talking about, like, hopefully we're up 15 and we can put him at first, or hopefully not, but you know, we're down 10 and he can go to first and get a few reps, you know.
That does sound more likely.
We'll get there when we get there. This is not a commitment, you know. This is kind of like introducing the position to the kid. We believe that athletic wise he can do it, but there's more than just standing there and catch throws, you know.
Okay. It's a good point by you, Keith. If you want to be down 10 to get him some reps out there, make sure it's a Hauk day.
Dust Hauk off the IL. Get him out there. You'll be down 10 in no time.
So it doesn't sound like they're super close to that happening anytime soon. They're going to get him his reps. But all I can hear, and you know, this is me, I guess. Mm-hmm. All I can hear in that answer is all the guys who were willing to go there. They might not have been good at it, but he just ticked off 3-4 different
they
guys.
They all changed positions. Everybody does.
Yeah. How many guys went there for the betterment of the team, even if they weren't good at it?
Frenchie Cordero had some moments at first base. He was atrocious.
And the problem with him is he wasn't good anywhere.
Anywhere.
But all I hear is all the guys that were willing to go there, including this kid now, Christian Campbell. Yeah. Schwarber tried it. Franchi tried it. What's his name? Arroyo tried it. All these guys tried it. All these guys are willing to do it. And
Devers isn't.
Devers
and he's
won't
not going
do it.
To.
Which,
yeah.
It just, I don't think Cora meant to do that, but he made Devers look like an even worse teammate, whether he did that intentionally or not. But
how long would it take for somebody to sort of get up to speed to be that adequate defensive first baseman?
2 days.
So Campbell should start tonight.
Yeah.
At first base.
Yeah, he's had his 2 days. Get out there.
No, I also go back to both Cora and Breslow. Just how are you not prepared for this? So even if there is a moving of players around, so let's say they wanted Devers to do it. You kind of knew how that was going to go. He didn't even want to just be a DH, so he's not going to want to go back into the field. And again, put that to the side, whether that's right, wrong, good teammate, horrible teammate. Casas goes down. What are you going to do? Punt? Like, that's what they've decided. They're like, well, we have Sogard and Romy. Like, that was the plan all along? How come Campbell or Meyer or Story or somebody didn't take grounders at first?
I bet the plan was Devers.
I
bet they assumed, because everybody will switch positions, as you just said, I bet they assumed, well, Rafael just do it, and he's
horrible
not doing
plan,
it.
Horrible plan, though.
It's not a great plan.
They should know this guy better than anybody else.
617-779-7937. What are your thoughts on Christian Campbell to first base? When are we going to see Meyer and Anthony? And what's wrong with the baseball team? Is it the manager who is AWOL today officially for his daughter's graduation? But he's been AWOL most of the year, if we're being honest, with his decisions on the bench.
Give somebody a chance to step up.
617-779-7937. Bunch of Celtics phone calls hanging out. We will talk to Terp. Pure Hoops, High Noon on a Monday. That's next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.